All right, welcome back to another episode of Hammering Down. I'm your host, Kaylor Hodges, and I am being joined by a very special guest. And we've had him on before in a different way. At last time at Ghost Train, where we had a little bit of a live show where you guys did seem to enjoy that. I am being joined by Soccer Down Here's own John Nelson. John, how you doing, man?
It's the busy part of the schedule where it's concurrency. And, you know, I know that this won't make good for radio, but I showed you one of my four calendars to keep track of everything. So it's like, okay, Atlanta United is at, Atlanta United 2 is at, who's going where, what time do I have to be there? So it's a busy part of the schedule, but it's the fun part of the schedule here in the summer.
Yeah, for people who are listening right now, go ahead, soak in how I sound now, because I'm in the middle of my mass pre-recording before we go on our trip out to Atlanta, then South Carolina. So this is going to be the one of five episodes that I'm recording today. So if by the end, whenever you get to Monday and you're hearing me talk to Mark Watson and it sounds like I'm dying, you know why. But
throat coat tea, brother. That is the best thing to do. Throat coat tea from Traditional Medicinals. Go to your favorite health food store. It has helped me out. It has helped Jason out across the board. So throat coat tea. That's the best thing I can tell you.
I mean, yeah, I've had so much water today, and yeah, I'm about to down all the tea I can find. But I kind of want to talk a little bit about Soccer Down Here for people who aren't aware of, you know, Soccer Down Here, and also your international show, your everything show. What kind of is that?
Soccer Down Here is in its sixth season as a network, and with Atlanta United coming online, we figured Jason Longshore, Jarrett Smith, Nick Alifi, and myself, we figured that we probably should hop on this because it's a big deal. And it has evolved into a network that does live programming Monday through Friday. And it goes from 9 Eastern until whenever. And, traditionally it would go from 9 until 11 Eastern time. And then news would break. And then we would have instant analysis for that kind of stuff. And so we just kind of have 9:05 Eastern until, and for those of a certain demographic, remember Turner time. That's why we went to 9:05 as an homage to Ted. But, 9:05 to 11:05, and then sometimes longer, depending on breaking news. And that's Monday through Friday. And then we have soccer over there, our European program with Nick Alifi running point on that. That one is at Monday nights at 7:05. And that one's kind of like the fever dream of SDH, where... and all of this is on Twitch for those that want to watch. It's at twitch.tv/soccerdownhere, in addition to being live on the app, available on iOS and Android. How's that for a plug? Soccer over there has evolved into discussing everything in the European game, everything outside of this hemisphere. We've been known to eat dinner during the show, literally eat dinner during the show. And, I'll get a delivery from a restaurant or something, and the boss will bring it down, and if we've been working all day, we get hungry, so we'll eat dinner on the show. I'll eat dinner on the show. It's turned into this thing that has been an education about the world's game. We have a Picks of the Week segment, and the listeners that are listening on the Twitch pitch at the time, they have, they're an active part of this competition, and it's like, okay, who can, of a game of the day, for 6 days, and we have a big competition, and we go by juice box numbers and things like that. And the winner gets to cut a wrestling promo. And in this, the Twitch pitch, and there've been days where we have not been able to find a domestic game anywhere. And so we've had Picks of the Week segments in Bhutan, like the Bhutan Premier League, and it has boosted our numbers in Bhutan. I'm not lying. We've done African domestic leagues, Asian domestic leagues. We've done stuff in Oceania where, and we're drawn to the team names. And then what we'll do, and we will literally spend 20 minutes on a deep dive about a team name and a logo, find out where it started, all of these kinds of things. And so soccer over there has turned into this dinner theater slash education about the world's game. And it's fun to do that. But no, it's just been, it's been a blast to develop the network over the last 6 years. Jason is an incredible, he's an oracle when it comes to soccer, and to be able to learn with him and to be on this ride with him, it's been really amazing. And you know, we have a bunch of specialty programs. We have a USL weekly in the championship. We've got a League One weekly. Anytime there's a newsmaker that we feel is worthy of doing a show, then we'll do what we call our 1v1 format, where we'll spend like 20 minutes with a guest and just do kind of, well, kind of like what we're doing here. So, yeah, it has evolved in its sixth year as a network into this wide expanse of bringing in guests during the daily show. And Dylan Butler from Major League Soccer, Nico Moreno from Pulso Sports out in Seattle, they're a part of our weekly guest. So, yeah, that is a long-winded answer to say that this has expanded in its sixth year to something that we could never have dreamed.
I mean, that's the goal, isn't it? Always, yeah. The goal.
SoccerDownHere.net for the website, for all of the printed material and the app and everything, and going on Twitch and having that instant interaction. It's always fun.
You know, let's kind of move forward to the main star of the Soccer Down Here world. And I know this is going to be, for people who are listening, there maybe if you aren't keeping up with MLS, you're not going to understand why we're starting here. But, you know, Atlanta United proper, mm-hmm. obviously, like all USL or all MLS 2 teams, the proper team, the senior team, has a lot of influence. But this year, if you're not keeping up, Atlanta United has undergone a injury crisis that we have never seen before at almost any level. And if you thought that the 2 team was being poached before, boy, is it this year. What's been kind of going on with the injury stuff? I mean, it never seems to be small. No one ever just seems to sprain their ankle. It's always massive.
Yeah. 17. And I think Jaime Ojeda did the math last week, and he came up with 17 injuries of varying degrees for the 36 or 37 players that have been somewhere on this roster here this season. And you're looking at, and I mean, it is some of just the freakish things, you know, like Brooks Lennon in Toronto during pregame warmup slips on a rubber mat off the playing surface at BMO Field. And he ends up, you know, right now it's 6 to 8 weeks. And so there's another month plus where Brooks Lennon is not going to be a part of things on the right-hand side for Atlanta United. You know, Brad Guzan with his Achilles, Miles Robinson with his Achilles, and Ozzie Alonso with his knee injury. And right there out of the blocks, that's your spine, you know, then
yeah.
Joseph coming back from his knee injury. And so, You start with that, and I know that this is not going to make for great radio, but I'm going to try and find all of the names and all of the injuries that have been a part of Atlanta United this season. And it was just staggering when you looked at it, because, you know, as you were talking, you sit there and it's like, it has that traditionally first teams and second teams, there's always that impact that's there involving, you know, Atlanta United in a situation like this that we're specifically talking about. But then you sit there and the impact that rubs off on the second team and you're going, oh my God. And all of those guys that you're thinking can help you out when it comes to the twos or Atlanta United, it's like Machope Chole, you need time. You've earned time with the parent club. And then Machope ends up with an injury in training camp. I think it was in the friendly in Guadalajara. And so he's out for a while, and he's now finally getting back to full song. And then you look at, you pretty much can name, you know, Luis Araujo as an example. Luis Araujo scores a goal, and then he hurts his hamstring while scoring, and he's out for a while. And you're just trying to piece all this stuff together. And I can't give Gonzalo Pineda and the coaching staff in the front office enough credit because of what they have been able to try and do formationally. I mean, think about just this past weekend where you're looking at, you don't have enough people in a specific position group. And so you end up having Machoke Chole playing at right back for like the last 15 minutes against NYCFC, doing something he's never done. You're like, dude, I need you to do this. And you're getting a lot of that this season. Okay, I found it. Brad Kazan, Achilles, out for the year. Dylan Castanera, a part of your goalkeeping depth. Achilles, out for the year. Brooks Lennon, knee, out 6 to 8 weeks. Miles Robinson, Achilles, gone for the year. George Campbell was out because of an adductor strain that he had, and he's back, and he's getting back to full song. Caleb Wiley, thanks to DeAndre Yedlin in the match at Inter-Miami, got roughed up, and he was out for an ankle. Andrew Gutman is out with a quad injury, and so he's out, I think, for another month. Ronald Hernandez, MCL injury. Santi Sosa has had a couple of different maladies, and so your number six, one of your number sixes, Ozzie Alonso or Santi Sosa, out with injuries. Franco Ibarra had a leg injury. Ozzie's out with the ACL. Mateus Usechu, a muscular injury, and he's had heavy legs recently as well. Luis Araujo, we talked about that. Machoke Chole, talked about that. Joseph, coming back from the arthroscopy and having to go back and have it looked at. And then Dom Dwyer, who was out briefly with a leg, and then you add to that Jake Mulroney, who was dinged before he was traded to Orlando. So 17 players of your 35, technically 36. That's what Atlanta United's had to deal with. And how many guys did we just mention there that we anticipated seeing time with the twos? Machoke Chole, Caleb Wiley, until he proved in Monday through Fridays that he was ready to go for Atlanta United. And then all of that healthy depth that you're having to see, you know, Alex DeJohn, you anticipated he was going to be spending time with the twos, just getting reps. Mikey Ambrose, you anticipated he was spending a lot of time on the left wing for as a left back or wherever they needed him, really, for Atlanta United too. And Jack Collison, Mikey has to get called up. And so, yeah, there's a massive trickle down. And because of that, Jack Collison is having to rely on all these academy kids being thrown into the deep end of the pool. And it's been, you should see our notes on a weekly basis, man, trying to prepare for Atlanta United or Atlanta United 2 matches. There's a lot of print when it comes to a lot of injuries and having to take a lot of notes. But yeah, it's been an adventure, and I don't mean that in the most complimentary sense of the word.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of laying it out there, right? Yeah. That there's a lot going on there, and it's one of those things, you don't want anybody to get injured. Obviously, nobody in this two team wants anybody to get injured, but you're also kind of thinking, if you're a twos player, you know, injuries create opportunities, right? And some of these guys are getting opportunities. Earlier this year, you know, we saw Jackson Conway go in there, get a goal. I think it was his first appearance with the club.
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Which he was a local guy, big moment for, you know, everybody watching. If you've been a fan of the USL for a while, you know the name. Recently, we've seen a guy who I talked to you about, I've talked to everybody about, why isn't this guy getting any kind of play? Aiden McFadden, who is just way too good for the USL for these last two games, I think, has been up in the MLS. Maybe not. I think he finally got his first minutes the other day.
Well, I mean, he got the 45 against Pachuca with Noah Cobb on the right in the AmFam Cup. And then he was the one who was pressed into service when Brooks was injured in Toronto, and he's been on the right ever since.
Yeah, I mean, Aiden McFadden's a guy who, I mean, he was kind of blocked out by all MLS talent that I think almost any other club he's starting or at least on the bench every single game. Aiden McFadden's ridiculous talent. Now we're looking at a two team that is missing what I consider to be their best player in Aiden McFadden, you know, in a good way, he gets called up. Now we're looking at, you know, a Jackson Conway, who's been backing goals for fun recently, and a Traeger, who's kind of new to the scene, not exactly new to Atlanta United, but for got people who are following the USL, that may not be a name that they recognize coming off that left wing.
Yeah. Tristan Traeger has open the door for Jackson Conway, Darwin Mateus, and everyone else who's been rushing recently, trying to put a ball in the back of the net. Tristan Traeger, your Western Athletic Conference Offensive Player of the Year, second round pick out of the Air Force Academy, and he can play. And now that you've got him paired with Jackson Conway, you know, you look at the highlights from the Charleston match as your first indicator, where they both had braces, and we Charleston has been struggling this season, and it's been an adjustment under Connor Casey, but you're seeing what Tristan Traeger can do for Jackson Conway, and in turn what Conway can do to give openings to Tristan Traeger. But one of the under underreported aspects of this, I think, is the relationship that Robbie Mertz has formed with Tristan Traeger. And Robbie Mertz has been that stalwart there for Jack Collison in the middle. And the you can see the relationships that the two of them have formed when it comes to anticipation and who can go where and what you're looking for. One of the goals that Traeger scored in his most recent brace of the year. Great through ball from Robbie Mertz to find Tristan Traeger, and he gets it past Evan Newton for El Paso as Atlanta took a 2-1 lead. But the Mertz relationship and him being that metronome for work everything forward for Darwin and Jackson and Tristan the last couple of matches, it's been really cool to see that relationship develop very, very quickly. And I can guarantee you that Tom Sohn and everybody there in your time zone focusing on this match coming up soon, they've been sitting there and it's like, all right, who's this Traeger dude?
You know?
But the thing is that with Traeger and Conway, I think it'll be interesting philosophically. Does Tom Sohn trust his back line to just to go two, or do you want three in the back to sit there and try to compete against those two guys? I think that's going to be one of the more interesting subplots for the match on midweek.
So it's definitely going to be interesting because Legion are going to be out without Mikey Lopez because he is out with suspension. We're also going to be out with Coach Tommy Sohn because of his straight red that he got against Louisville. So that's going to be definitely interesting. If I'm assuming now, I posted something on Twitter recently about Legion going full, juggernaut, offensive juggernaut, putting out, let's see, 8 offensive players and 2 center backs and a goalkeeper, which
so you want a 2-8, you want a 2-8-0 is what you're looking
it's
for.
Basically
2-0-8. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what you put out there. I mean I thought it would be a fun little exercise, but in all reality, if I'm assuming, if we go back to what's been working, what gave us this strong defensive run, it is a Jake Roof out on the left, Fanwell Kavita, Alex Cronulli, and Johnny Dean, with a Jake Roof playing as a pseudo center back. He's technically a left back, but he plays a pseudo center back role. And a Mikey Lopez, who's out now. Mikey Lopez has been playing a defensive midfield that looks more like a center back. He's also playing a pseudo center back role against some of these other teams. It's basically a 4 center back line with Johnny Dean being able to do whatever the heck he wants.
I like Johnny Dean a whole lot.
Love that guy. This is really giving us more balance, strangely enough, having basically 4 center backs. But now with Mikey Lopez out, what do you do? Do you stay with a Jake Roof, who is essentially a 3rd center back, but you lose more of your left wing? Or do you go with a Ryan James back there, who is, again, a true left wing back? Really, he's more of a left midfielder, if anything. But it's going to be really interesting. And then you kind of mentioned that Charleston Battery match where Tristan Traeger really kind of, I guess, announced himself. He had scored goals and stuff before, but this is the game that it was like, okay, this is for real. And what I noticed was he wasn't necessarily always the leading striker. He was playing kind of like a deep-lying playmaker almost, kind of like your cam role with Conway and Tovar right in front of him, right? Matthew, I can never pronounce his name.
Daryl Mateus.
Yeah, Mateus, thank you. Tovar is always the thing that they put on the other's official stuff. But he kind of played behind them and then made runs off of them. And yep. Hold on, somebody was just walking in. That was strange. hello, there's a paper on the door. It's fine. That's staying in because I can't be bothered to edit it out.
live radio, brother. That's what happens. But yeah, I mean, you see with Tristan Traeger drifting back and helping out and being one of those fulcrums that we talk about in the midfield with Robbie and David Mejia, and you see Traeger working his way back. But then, you look at Traeger and you look at Jackson and they give you 2 different things. And Jackson's work rate, these last handful of matches, I mean, you can see what Traeger has opened the door for Jackson to be able to do. And it's like, when you have two different guys, and really three, if you include Darwin in this discussion, you've got you've had the speed of Darwin Mateus, you have the physicality of Jackson Conway, and then you have pretty much the wide open running of a guy like Tristan Traeger. And I think that having those three different ideas to have to combat, I think that it, as we've seen, we saw it back in, as far back as the Oakland match, where they got the Traeger get the equalizer against Oakland before some ghost penalty call that I'm still trying to figure out. But you see the different aspects that you have of the guys that you list up top, but you mentioned Traeger drifting back a little bit to help things out. But yeah, this has been something that has clicked offensively for Atlanta United too, with the addition of Tristan Traeger, because you can't just focus on Jackson anymore, because you know that Jackson's going to be that physical presence up there. But now that you have guys that can create open spaces, Jackson can give you one aspect. Darwin Mateus can give you a second. Tristan Traeger can give you a third. And having all three of those different pieces available for you has really created headaches for folks the last handful of weeks.
Yeah, and going again back to the Charleston match, because if you look at kind of the way Atlanta United played, it was really interesting, essentially playing with the three-man back line and allowing your midfield with Lopez and Crawford, right? They played really wide while the rest of the team played really narrow, and it opened up a lot of space in the midfield because you're having to pull somebody out. You can't just leave two open runners going out on the wings like that. You just can't. And so it opened up space in the middle, and time again, I mean, you mentioned it, Mateus had that beautiful ball that, you know, eventually goes into the back of the net, cutting the center backs open. That's all caused because of your wide runners out in the wider areas, which is something we haven't seen necessarily too much from Atlanta United, especially not this two side. Right. They've always exploited the wings just a little bit, but it never quite looked like this.
Yeah, and you know, to your point, when you want, and this goes back to the, you know, Gabriel Heinze, where you wanted to have things as wide as possible, so you could have the midfield available to you, that middle channel, and this has just been part and parcel to that. Where if you have all of these wide runs, whether it's David Mejia, you know, or if it's Mateus coming down the left, you have that midfield with Robbie Mertz, Tristan Traeger drifting back into those open spaces to help things out. And it's like I said, it's been really cool to see how this has evolved and how really different one piece can be for you. And you're looking to take pressure off of somebody up top because it's always a focus. But then when you bring in a piece like Tristan Traeger, who will run for 90 minutes. I mean, he will be all over the place. You'll see him helping out defensively and backtracking all the way inside the area when he needs to. So, I mean, it's been a great addition. It's been really cool for me to see how things, it's like you just hit a light switch and you see all of these different really cool offensive pieces for Atlanta United too, and how one guy can make that much of a difference and trigger things in other folks that can help everything moving forward. And, you know, you look at and it takes pressure off the back line, and they can continue to get those minutes to continue and evolve, where you've got a guy like Nelson Orji, who's come in and he has really stepped up ever since he has gotten regular minutes. And it's been great to see him on the inside continue to grow. Noah Cobb, who I think is 17 officially, has not played like a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old since he's been here. So when you have that as your two center backs, and you know, then you have a guy like Heimar who comes in and he has shown no fear, and he has adapted to what Atlanta United 2 has wanted to do and what Jack Collison has wanted him to do on a daily basis. It's been, for me, and that's one of the reasons I've always enjoyed, you know, doing the Atlanta United 2 games, is because you get to see these guys take those first steps. And sometimes those steps are a lot faster than others. You know, like I said, with Orji and Heimar, and specifically Tristan Traeger, who we're talking about, it's been fun to see that accelerator hit the ground pretty hard right out of the blocks and to see that car just go speeding down the road.
I mean, this is a, it's definitely a different look Atlanta United to team, obviously more than just personnel. But something that I've noticed throughout the season, but especially these most recent matches against El Paso, which that was another great game to watch. These last two matches, the El Paso and the Battery match, if you're a neutral, I mean, it is just high action, just flying. It's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But something that we've seen across Atlanta United, all the way from the senior all the way down to the academy team, which I got a chance to watch earlier this year against FC Birmingham, is that this Atlanta United style of, we're going to outpossess you. That's what we do. We outpossess. If we are, we're going to hold on to the ball. And if we see something that we don't like, we'll just pass the ball back and start all over again. In years past, we've seen them just kind of poke and prod. They wait, find their chances, and then they'll see an opening and take advantage. And if they don't see what they like, instead of forcing the issue, they'll just start over. And eventually, they'll force the issue, right? But this year, Atlanta United, too, has not done that as much. They've been more or less just kind of going for it. And it's been different. It's been very different. I mean, there's been times in the past where Atlanta United, too, will, you know, lose a match like 3-1, 2-1, but they were dominating possession almost 60-30 or 60-40, whatever math is. Yes. And you're kind of like, well, how did that happen? But again, possession is more of an indication of style, not necessarily domination, right? Yeah. But it's been definitely a different style out of this two team this year.
Well, and I mean, you're trying to learn what Gonzalo Pineda wants to have as his system. And it's an evolution of getting a full training camp and getting a full winter in with these players to learn what Gonzalo Pineda wants to do. And last season, remember, Gonzalo Pineda came in and he had to work with the pieces that were there in front of him. It wasn't where he could just bring in guys and start over and do what he could with his guys. Last season was, okay, this is what I have in the cupboard. What can I make out of this? And so it was this last season was Gonzalo Pineda and Top Chef. I mean, it was like, seriously, you're going in the cupboard. It's like, okay, I've got this, and this, and what five-course meal can I make out of it? And by the end of it, it was one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference in points per game.
Yep.
And then you come in, you've got a full season to figure out what you want to do and how can the twos be an extension of what Gonzalo Pineda wants when it comes to system and personnel and all those kinds of things. And so I think it was the advantage of having that full training camp and that full, you know, the trip to Mexico and all of these pieces that Gonzalo Pineda finally could sit there and piece together and go, ah, okay, these are the guys that I would like to bring in. Unfortunately, most of them ended up getting injured. And so that plays into it too, where you have the guys that you want, but then with injuries, you're in a game by game situation almost. It's like, okay, what can I do today? And it's almost to where Jack Collison is having to have his version of Top Chef because of the injuries that Atlanta United have had. Gonzalo Pineda has had to get the resources from Atlanta United too. Jack Collison has had to bring in guys from the academy, and he's had the guys that have been there. And it has been at times, you know, a game by game. Okay, I need this guy here because he's healthy. Where can I put him? I know he's playing out of position, probably doing things he hasn't for a long time, and I've got to put him here. And so it's out of necessity where you're trying to make things fit, but in the overall, Jack Collison is trying to do what Gonzalo Pineda wants to do, so you have that clean line of understanding. Monday through Friday, it's like, okay, Atlanta United's going to do this, and Atlanta United 2 is going to do the same, injuries permitting and game state and all these different kinds of things. And so the ideas are the same, but you know, back to our first theme about injuries getting in the way, injuries definitely have gotten in the way, and this has turned into Top Chef for both of these guys this year.
You know, the big, I guess, knock that you have to look at for this Atlanta United 2 team, and this is, again, going back to injuries. when you're dealing with two teams, you have to look at what's going on in the senior squad. And whenever you have this many injuries, they're going to be picking and choosing. And like you mentioned, it's been except for a few, mostly backline injuries and goalkeeping injuries. And whenever you're having to pull guys up, even just as depth, if they can't, even if they're not starting, they have to be depth. You have to pull that depth from somewhere. You're starting to feel that a little bit in the Atlanta United too, right? I mean, you're Atlanta United too. They're going to score a goal. You're pretty much bang on. You're going to have at least a goal or two come out of Atlanta United too, except for two clean sheets. If you look at the 16 games that they've conceded goals in, they're averaging almost three goals a game conceded. And that's not ideal. And when you're
when you're chasing them, it comes to a couple of different things. One, to the point that you've made, when you have guys who don't have those relationships, when you know you can't look at a guy and know what his first instinct is going to do, you're cramming for a test on the fly. This is like, you know, you've been thrown into the testing room. And you don't know, you kind of know what the subject is, but you don't know what the questions are. And then it's like pop quiz, bang, here's your questions. And the guy next to you can help, but his interpretations and his base ideas might be a little different. And so you've got to learn what's going on to your left. You've got to learn what's going on to your right. You've got to know what's going on behind you in game state and just guys who haven't played together, you're going to have those kinds of hiccups. And when you're chasing, it's all about those lessons again about, okay, a game is stretched. We're not going to just, you know, we're not going to give up at all. And that's been another tenet of what we've seen from Atlanta United and Atlanta United too. They're not going to pack it in when they're trailing and just try to get out of Dodge. They're going to continue to sit there and chase and chase and chase. And yes, the game will get stretched. And yes, you'll have moments. And then you'll end up with, you know, with keepers who end up by themselves trying to defend, you know, odd man rushes and things like that. And so all of these things that we've been talking about, yes, with the injuries and the trickle down and relationships and trying to figure out who can do what where. And if I go here, you know, is he going to go here? All of these different things lead to those kinds of days. And you're going to have those kinds of days, especially when you are a very young club. And it's just, you know, it's a fact of life, basically, that, you know, adversity lends you things that you didn't necessarily know about yourself going in. And Atlanta United and Atlanta United 2 are both learning about that this year.
The last thing I kind of want to hit on when it comes to the personnel of the squad, right, is, yeah. I mean, last year, I think if I remember keeping up with it correctly, Atlanta United 2 had five different keepers starting net for them.
Sounds right.
This year, you're looking at not too different. You have a keeper that started six matches, and then you have everybody else filling in when they have to. I think Rico got a start and goal at one point, and then
Dylan had some starts before he hurt his Achilles. Rocco got some starts. Reyes has some starts. Garces has some starts. And when you have injuries, you know, with Dylan, you want Dylan to get reps as he was your number three coming into the season. So you're going to want Dylan to get reps at some point because you don't want him to get completely and totally rusty in game state. So that you understand. With Justin Garces coming back from UCLA, once again, you want Justin to get reps. With Vicente Reyes coming up from, you know, his added experience there, you want Vicente Reyes to get reps. But because of the injury to Dylan and because of game state and schedule compression and injuries and all of these things, you don't want to have these keepers specifically sit there and it's like, you don't want them to go five in a row in 14 days. And so, yes, you'll have Justin play and then Vicente will play like we had last week where they alternated on a quick turn. And it comes down to the physio staff as well, monitoring what they see in these guys. So Dylan got your reps early. He's injured. So, yes, Dylan will be in the stat sheet for the remainder of the year for the matches that he played. Then it's Rocco coming in as a part of, okay, do we need a number three? We need some experience. then that was where Brad and Bobby then turned into, instead of it being Brad, Bobby, Dylan, it went Brad, Bobby, Rocco. And then Brad's injured, then Brad's out, so it's Bobby. And then you go back to a place that you were experienced before and you were comfortable with, because you want someone who's comfortable with the system and a keeper who's comfortable working the ball at his feet. So that's why you dial up Rocco Rios Novo again. So Rocco gets reps with the twos, and then he goes up. And so, yeah, all of these different names that we've been talking about here, all these 37 names, Kaler, it's like, it literally is dominoes. It's health dominoes. It's like, okay, this leads to this, which leads to this, which leads to bringing this guy in, which leads to shuttling him up, you know, to the first team, and then having Garces and Reyes that are a part of it too. And so now you're three keepers with Atlanta United. Yeah. So this has been a challenge on like nine different fronts this year, trying to figure out. You mentioned, you know, in baseball, you can't tell the players without a scorecard. That's the same thing that we're talking about here with 37 names. And I think it's 32 different players have gotten reps for Atlanta United too this year. And another thing leading into the match for this week and beyond, three players, Nigel Prince, Andy Sullins, and Grant Howard, they're now going to college. So Grant Howard, who we saw evolve at left back, Grant is out the door, and he's going to Virginia Tech. Andy Sullins, who is an academy product, he is now heading to UVA. Nigel Prince heading to Northwestern. So you want to, I want to know what it's going to look like at left back for your match against Birmingham in the midweek. So the challenges are there. Kids heading off to college. And so, yeah, I think 32 was the number that I came up with looking at the sheet the other day. So we'll see. Yeah, 37 for Atlanta United, 32 for Atlanta United too. So looks like you'll have academy kids, 15, 16-year-olds like a Matthew Brick probably. We'll be getting more reps. You might be seeing Alan Carlton getting more reps. So, yeah, so it's it literally has been working with erasers and what is this? This is a Sharpie. It's a Sharpie pen that I'm holding in my hand. So literally it's like, yep, it's all kinds of dominoes and chips and stuff all over the place.
I mean, it's so hard to keep up with. I mean, imagine.
Literally, you just have to do it a game at a time. You cannot think about the match in Tulsa this weekend because you're not there
yet.
Yep. And literally that's how, after this match tomorrow, as we're talking, leading into the match with Birmingham, like the match with El Paso, great that it happened, 2-2 draw, it's done. You can take notes from it and move forward. You think about Birmingham, that's where you are right now, because you're not to hopping on the plane and traveling to Tulsa yet. You got to focus on Birmingham and then get to Tulsa, where you've got the fifth match in 14 days is that Tulsa match. And so that's the other part that plays into this too.
I mean, I'm imagining not only at the MLS level, but here, imagine being Tommy Stone and Conno Smith, where you're like, okay, we know that Jackson Conway and, you know, Jackson Conway is going to play.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Yeah. Pretty much picture the lineup that you had here, and you're to the point where Centeno and Firmino came in as second half subs. So don't be surprised if you see Centeno and Firmino start this one to give some guys some rest. So they're only coming in and giving you 30. So you're not sitting there going 90, 90, 90, 90, 90. That, I think that was on purpose by Jack Collison. So look for Centeno and Firmino possibly to be in your starting 11.
So I said that was the last thing. I got
thing. Fibbed. You're a fibbing liar. Fibber. You're a fibbing liar. Fibber.
If everything goes right,
uh-huh,
and they have Atlanta United has the perfect build-up play,
sure,
right? How can Legion fans expect this Atlanta United team to build up and start their attack?
Well, I think that we've been talking about it, where you've got work from Hymar on the one side, and his crosses and his long balls to Nelson Orji also has been, if you look at, I think it was the second goal against El Paso, Nelson Orji, I think it was Nelson Orji to Robbie Mertz threw ball to Traeger passed Evan Newton. I think that was the buildup. But mm-hmm. That was what they saw and they took advantage of with El Paso. But it's going to be Hymar, Orji, Cobb, and whoever the keeper is, who in this system acts like another center back. So if folks haven't seen Atlanta United 2, don't be surprised by how forward playing the goalkeeper is. That's a part of the deal. If they're comfortable with how they are with possessing, then they're going to act like another center back. You'll see them 20, 25 yards outside of the 18. That's just a part of it. So it'll be a piece at a time, but you have those guys that are either on the wing or internal that can hit you on a big switch quickly or do it incrementally. Just sit there and you find, you work with Hymar to Mertz. Mertz can act as the metronome there in the middle and then try to find folks like Mateus or Mejia or something like that. So it'll be build up, and don't be surprised if it's sustained possession. But the other tenet that has been key to Gonzalo Pineda is to try to win the ball back as quickly as possible off of a turnover. So you will see pressure coming from Atlanta United too if they lose possession. It won't be just something like, oh, well, we gave up possession, we'll withdraw. But you will see pressure. You will see guys collapse on whomever has the ball for anyone in USL Championship, but in this case for Birmingham Legion. You will see them trying to create a turnover just as quickly as they gave it up themselves. So it can come at you in one of two ways. It can come in very patient buildup, because when you've got the ball and you've got folks who are confident dribbling with their feet, then the other guy doesn't have the ball. And that's a good thing last time I checked. Having guys who can dribble and having possession so you can dictate where you want things to be on the field. Last time I checked, I thought that was a good thing. So you've got that and you have pressure off of turnovers. Those are probably the two biggest things where if it's not build up and if there's a turnover, Atlanta United 2 tries to get it back just as quickly so they can create that short field and those transition opportunities to spring a Darwin Mateus, to spring in a Johnny Fortune, to spring Traeger and to work their way up toward Jackson Conway up front. So I'm not anticipating a whole lot of goals in this one just because of the rivalry sake. I anticipate this will be very, very chippy at points. And I will be interested to see how the center F and the ARs handle the match, considering the history that these two clubs have.
Right. And you going back to your keeper comment, if people are kind of wondering or trying to figure out what exactly John meant by that kind of center back, think about sleeper keeper. Point at CJ Cochran for Tampa Bay and formerly of OKC Energy. I pointed that out before, that they will come out and they will play out of the box, and not just to communicate, but play out of the box. It happens. You're going to see it with them at least once where they're going to come 30 yards out to clear a ball. That's not unusual. So that's a good shout. And that's a kind of, if you're looking for something to like, what does that mean? That's kind of what John meant by that. Yeah, I mean, especially coming off a Louisville match where Legion admittedly lost their head pretty heavily. I think that Legion getting themselves under control and not letting a decision go against them get to them, I think that's really going to be a key part of this match, is how do you get over the emotional letdown of Louisville, where you feel hard done by not only the red card to Mikey or the second yellow to Mikey, but also the penalty against Matt Van Okel. How do you get yourself back there? If there is a call that goes against you, how do you react? I think that's going to be a key part of this. And whenever John mentioned the possessing and like dribbling the ball, I mean, case in point for the Legion side, I mean, Anderson Asidu. That's everything.
And that one for me is one of the ones that traditionally we look at for the emotional side of things.
Yep.
in this matchup. So he will be an emotional focal point, and he has always wanted in these matchups to assert himself in a Birmingham Legion kit. So we'll see how Anderson handles himself in this matchup again midweek.
This is going to be a pretty good one, I think. For Legion fans, I mean, in the past, there's been a crooked score line, but don't expect that. Like you said, expect a low scoring game. These are two teams that are traditionally I mean, you had a J.J. Williams in the past that wanted to stick it to Atlanta any way he could. You have an Anderson who he says that this match, you know, against Atlanta doesn't mean anything, but you watch the way that he plays. That's a lie. Love you, Anderson, but don't lie. And you have other guys that want to prove themselves against an academy team. And especially, I mean, we kind of saw it against Red Bulls. I mean, Juan Agudelo definitely wanted to go out there and get his goal. He didn't, but, you know, stick it to the team that gave up on you, essentially. So this is going to be an interesting one. If Legion don't come out with a 3-1, 4-1 win, it's not because they're bad. It's because systematically, these teams almost kind of balance each other, cancel each other just a little bit traditionally anyway. So this is going to be an interesting chess piece of a match.
Yep. It's going to be a fun one, especially in the midweek fatigue. Physio staffs and their monitoring are going to be big in figuring out who the starting 11s are. Not anticipating a whole lot of change from the twos, but it'll be interesting to see what Birmingham looks like coming off of the Lou City match.
So as we wrap this up, John, we talked about it at the beginning, but where can people find you? Where can people listen?
Soccer Down Here, soccerdownhere.net. You can download the Soccer Down Here app, available iOS and Android, and set your notifications for whenever we have any kind of fresh programming, then that way you'll know. Soccer Down Here Daily Radio, 9:05 until 11-something-something Eastern Time on twitch.tv/soccerdownhere. And so let's see, I'm trying to figure out where else. What else have I missed,
Caitlin? Socials.
Socials, yes. At soccer, see, and I'm not the big social media guy. That's the thing. It's like, I really don't travel on them a lot, but I know that I have to have them. And it's like, oh, I have notifications. At Soccer Down Here, at Longshoe, at Jared_Smith, at Nicolifi. I'm at OSG Nelson. Like, friend, follow along on Twitter, Instagram, Soccer Down Here on Instagram. I'm Cute Sports Guy on Instagram, because when the boss says that's what you are, that's what your handle is. Facebook, Soccer Down Here as well.
Beautiful. Well, again, thank you so much for hopping on. It's been an absolute blast. Learned a lot about, Atlanta footy and just in general. And if people want to learn more about Atlanta footy, because there is a lot of Atlanta United 2 fans that sit in the Birmingham demographic, Soccer Down Here is the perfect place to learn about that. Or if you want to have your dinner and learn about, let's see, where are we heading off to next? I'm going to guess Uzbekistan is where
we're going. Hey, don't put it past us, brother. I mean, there'll be times where our folks in the Twitch pitch, our faithful listeners, they'll sit there and they will pull the most random country out. And strangely enough, our numbers will be boosted in that country when it comes to discussing soccer and getting all of the results, because we talked about their particular clubs in their Premier League. So, yeah, that's picks of the week on soccer over there. Usually starts about 8:30 and ends about 12:45 in the morning.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you again, John. It's been an absolute blast, and see you, I guess, tomorrow.
Anytime, my friend.